opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Jefferson, and another beautiful Sunday morning we've awoken to here. Oh, and it is. It's getting into the good time of the year. You know, we're right in there before the heat really hits and the humidity and the kind of the nasty dog days of the summer. We're in that kind of late spring where you're getting the nice warm days, but they're not too hot, and you're still getting the afternoon showers and a little bit of breeze and, you know, all the good festivals and everything is starting to wake up, and the good events. It's the best time of year, I think, in Jefferson, other than harvest. Harvest is my favorite time in the fall, but it's a good time of year. And as always, I'm here with Wayne Carpenter. Good morning.
Good morning. How goes it?
It goes well.
Good, good.
Yeah. How about yourself?
So far, so good.
Yeah. So you were returning from the Tehama County Town Hall. We'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today we just kind of wanted to take it a little bit casual, take a little bit step back from some of the hardcore stuff and talk about some of the great things that make Jefferson, Jefferson.
Absolutely.
You know, everything from our parks to our festivals to, you know, the different kind of people that live here and to who we are and how we really are kind of a unique set of people north of Sacramento compared to the people south of Sacramento.
Absolutely.
We really are different in many, many, many ways.
We are.
So, you know, I've been kind of thinking about that, at some of the local things that are going on around here, like the cruise, which is always a huge, huge deal here in Shasta County and the surrounding area. It gets better every year.
Yep, it does. So,
you know, always good to see the Jefferson rigs out there.
Yep.
you know, we were at the Shasta Lake City Damboree, which is a parade and festival that's gone on since the 50s. Mm-hmm. in Shasta Lake City, and it's hilarious. We pulled up to the local park where they're doing kind of the fair and everything, and there is probably a line of 12 cars right in the first parking lot, all with the big Jefferson sticker on the back of them. First thing you see there is the Jefferson flags waving, and you know the crew was out there, the tireless warriors like Jan Hanks and the Jennings and Jeff Nelson, and I don't know where they find the energy to just keep pounding it. Those guys are warriors.
Well, they are put due diligence into what we're doing. It's what we have to do.
Yeah,
they are
amazing people. I mean, Shasta County wouldn't be where it is without them. Jefferson wouldn't be where it is without people like Jan and the Jennings and Jeff and those people. And it's always amazing because you can't go anywhere and not turn around, and there they are. Sign my petition. So, and the fantastic job that they do spreading information and things. It's good people.
Good people. So. And they're everywhere. Shasta County, I mean Jefferson in total, but Shasta County, we really are very fortunate. We have a lot of really good people that are involved in the movement, and we have good people out there that aren't involved in the movement yet.
Yes.
And that's the thing. You know, once they see what's going on, hopefully they start wanting to participate and get involved and put their fingerprints on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's neat is even as we continue to go with this, we're continuing to grow.
Absolutely.
The growth has never stopped.
No, it hasn't.
It's contagious.
Yep.
And you know that's even spread to some of our politicians. We still can't get them off the dime. I support you guys, but I won't do anything.
Yeah.
I support you guys, but I won't do anything.
Yeah.
So we're getting a lot of that. And a lot of people are kind of opening their eyes to that and getting frustrated with it. But
you know, that's part of the process. And, you know, it's human nature. They are scared for what they currently have, thinking that that's the end-all, be-all. You know, that's what they're going to have forever. Yeah, not going to happen. Because at some point, they're going to be done with their time of service, and what are they going to do? And had they supported us from the get-go or even jumped on board now, mm-hmm. or even Monday morning at 8 o'clock, if they jump on board and start supporting, they stand a much better chance of being well-received in any circle.
Yeah.
But the longer they put it off and the longer they deny it, you know, it's kind of like when you deny the Almighty.
Yeah.
When you go to the pearly gates, guess what? You're not getting in.
Sooner or later. And that is one of the, you know, speaking of things that make us uniquely Jeffersonians, that is one of the things. We have a very long memory.
Oh, yeah. We're kind of like elephants.
Yeah. We don't forget.
We don't forget.
And, some people ought to remember that themselves.
Well, you know, it'll come back, and, you know, and of course, we're always going to be diplomatic about things, and, you know, we always are fair, and we're honest.
Yeah.
And sometimes to a fault, but guess what? We're honest, and we're not going to lie to people about things, and we're not going to twist things and manipulate things for the end result. We make sure that we work forward and work hard and do the right thing.
Oh, and an update that I had not been aware of, we're getting from the chat room here from Jimmy. Apparently, the chief of CalPERS, Benestrero, has been arrested for domestic battery on top of being charged in a corruption case for accepting over $250,000 in bribes.
And he's what now?
He was the chief of CalPERS.
Chief of CalPERS. So that means he's in control of CalPERS for all the CalPERS employees?
If anybody's in control of CalPERS at this point.
But he would have the final say.
Well, I'd imagine right now being in control of CalPERS is like being at a dead stick of an airliner headed for the ground.
Or floating the Titanic.
Yeah. He's in control. Let the band play on.
That goes back to character. So somebody doesn't have character and they're leading an organization of that magnitude.
Yeah, an alleged thieving wife beater.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, that's who's managing your accounts, and that's who you're supposed to trust.
Yeah.
With your golden years.
Well, that always reaffirms why I pulled out of CalPERS.
Well, we've been beating that drum for some time now. Everybody that'll listen, everybody that's got the capability, you're going to take the hit, but you're going to be better off in the long run. Get
absolutely
out from underneath of that collapsing house.
Take it now
while
you have a say and control of what you have there.
Before the legislature stops you from taking it out.
Absolutely.
Because they're trying to put through legislation right now to basically seize the CalPERS funds and put it under a state-run program.
Oh, that'll work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're actually working on one where everybody that receives a payroll check, they will take a part of their check and put it into one massive pension fund, not only for government employees, but for citizen employees. It would be basically Social Security on the state level of California.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But that's what they're up to. They're crafting legislation to do that right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they believe that's the only way to float the CalPERS system is take direct governmental control of the CalPERS system and then invest private citizens with it, too. And then, you know, so you pay in to your Social Security, which probably won't be there. And then you get to pay into your California Social Security, which probably won't be there. Going to be run by the same guys that bankrupted one of the largest pension funds in history.
Who won't be there.
Who won't be there. Yeah. It's insane.
Wow.
It's, you know.
That's amazing that, you know, people can think that that's okay. That they twist the system to think that's a doable option and that it's okay. How can they think that way? I don't get it.
Well, it's like they think they can control a car wreck in mid-flip.
Yeah.
You know, like they're going to correct the problem.
Yeah.
Freeze!
You know, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Just throw yourself in front of the car.
Okay. You're not a wizard. Whoop.
Stop. Oh, man, to bring up wizards, that makes me think of my brother. We were talking about taking a trip to Vegas, and my brother wanted to know what happened if the wizard died that kept the plane in the air.
Well, we would glide down.
Well, we had to tell him the truth. There's a backup wizard.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, that's the same kind of logic behind some of what California's up to.
Wow.
You know, where with some sensible investment, and why not let employees take ownership of their own retirement? Why not let them take their funds that they're forced to contribute now and find their own medical? Let them naturally collectivize. Let them form their own insurance groups. Let them form their own funds that are managed by people that they choose.
They can, then they have control, and they
Absolutely.
Can, they know who they trust. They're invested. They've got skin in the game. They truly have skin in the game anyway because it's their money. But why not have skin in the game when you're going through the process and enacting what it is you're going after, whether it's your insurance or your retirement or mm-hmm. what have you. And when you have skin in the game, you work harder for it, and you make sure it goes where it's supposed to go, and you question things. You get answers. And if you don't get answers, then you change from that plan to another plan, or you take action.
Give them the options of free choice. Do you want to be collectively right. invested with everybody else? Maybe you want to go off on your own and do your own portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But for that freedom and that liberty, you have to accept the responsibility of you may screw up and there may not be anything there.
Right.
You know, that happens. You know, but that's the great thing about America is if you're allowed to act like an American, you can screw up and go at it again.
Right.
That's
your choice.
That's your choice.
Not somebody else choosing for you when you have no control, and then you get to the end of your work years and the beginning of your mm-hmm. retirement years and find out there's nothing left. Your nest egg is empty. I mean, there's no egg
exactly.
in the nest. I mean, truly.
And, you know, in things that we could do in a free state like Jefferson, we could open up the laws and regulations to allow for direct investment. Okay,
right.
Say you're somebody that's got some extra money put aside, and you know your neighbor Bob has got the next great thing in his garage. Instead of having to go through all of these rigmaroles and hoops, maybe open that up where you can directly invest in Bob's invention.
Right.
You know, if that's what you want to do.
Right.
Or open it up where you can invest in a side business, because I have firmly come to believe that the only way for true upward mobility is self-employment.
Okay.
And that's nothing to put down public service or anything like that, but I believe that everybody's ultimate goal should be to work for yourself eventually.
Yeah, because you want your money to work for you, so mm-hmm. that's the way you're going to twist it. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not the way the system's designed now. The
right.
system is designed to keep you working for somebody else, to keep you. And if you look at the historical perspective of what America was set up for, most of those people, they would go and they would take an apprenticeship, and they would learn a skill, and they would learn a trade, and then they would venture out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to the saying, mind your own business.
There we go.
They literally meant mind your own business.
Mind your business.
Yeah,
yes.
Mind your business.
Take care of it.
Go hang out your own shingle, mm-hmm. because that's the way that you become successful, and that's something that you were meant to hand off to your children or to someone in your family, or, you know, things that have been broken through the various tax methods that we use. And these are all things that we can correct. And, you know, speaking of Jefferson and being the people that we are, I think a majority of the people that live here find that as very exciting and very to be able to go out and create on their own, to do on their own for themselves,
mm-hmm.
to put themselves up to the test of, can I do it?
Right, right.
So with that, we probably better sneak off to our first break. And if you guys got any questions or comments, or, you know, you want to contribute your own unique perspective to what it is to be a Jeffersonian, give us a call at 530-605-4567.
That California was never supposed to be just one state. Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge and Wind River Resort and Casino Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. We'll have a night of jazz and fun with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Barimonis on drums, and special guest Lou White from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, Romance on the River, Cinco de Mayo style, May 5th. Call 243-3377 for reservations today.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on. Just to get up that hill.
A little bit more every day.
Yes, sir. Moving on up.
And with that, let's go ahead and talk about the town hall down there in Red Bluff.
Okay. It was good. It was very good. We had a lot of new bodies in there, and that's always good. The town halls, we're seeing a lot of new people coming in, which is good because then all the veterans that have already been exposed to the information are out there, and they understand it, and they're having dialogue with people and supporting in any way they can. And now we're getting new people curious, and so they come in and they get the explanation, and they walk away with like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, this is good, and they're excited, and they pick up a lot of the material we have and all the other good stuff that we have there. And a lot of the times, well, most of the time that we're seeing now is after the town hall's over, a lot of people stick around and just have dialogue, which is really good. They just start asking questions and talking to each other or talking to the rest of us, you know, the local committee and those of us that kind of sweep in for the day and sweep back out, you know, to help them do their town halls.
Yeah.
And it's really good that they do that because then they're able to ask the questions they want to ask, whether in open public forum with everybody hearing it or just on one-on-one. And it works out really well because then we're able to give them the answers that we know. And if there's something they ask and we don't have an answer for, we tell them that. We're honest about it. But we also let them know, too, let's get your information, we'll do our digging, find out, and we'll get back to you. And we follow through with that, which is kind of unique to any kind of organization.
I think we've almost run out of questions that we haven't heard before, though.
I think we're getting there, yeah.
I can't remember the last time I got hit with a question that I was like, huh,
yeah.
I don't know, I didn't think about that one.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, the pot's been stirred pretty thoroughly.
yeah, we brought up all the chunks from the bottom, I'm pretty sure, but there might be some down there. You never know.
You never know, and we're always looking for them because we want to make sure we get them addressed.
Yeah. You know, there's still people that want to argue over what's the postal code going to be. You know, are we JE or are we JS or, you know, are we going to be something different? And
yeah.
Who knows?
But,
yeah, and I think, you know, as we were talking about, we continue to grow. The people of California continue to be hit on a daily basis by their state government. Sometimes two or three things at a time, a day.
And that's by design.
It is by design.
Yeah.
And people are starting to look around and go, okay, what are these guys talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is this really the way out?
Yeah.
And no one to this point has brought forth a better solution. For the most part, we're looking around, people aren't even working on a solution.
That's true. And they don't have one. When you ask them point blank, do you have another option?
Yeah.
They look at you and stare into space. It's like, okay, being stoned right here doesn't count.
Yeah.
You have to have a workable, viable option, or at least looking to that end.
Yeah.
And they don't ever have an answer.
And anybody at this point that doesn't admit to the fact that California is broken and on the way down, there's no helping you.
They're a denier or they're a liar.
Yeah, you're either clinically mental or on drugs, or both.
Yeah.
There's nobody that can sit back and reasonably say that California is on a sustainable, functional path.
No, it's on the blended glide path, I
believe. Yeah, it's been blended, all right. So, and
well, we had a good turnout down there in Red Bluff yesterday. It was the committee worked their tails off to get everything up and running, get the facility secured, and get everything done that you do for a town hall. And they did a wonderful job. And hats off to them. And the cleanup, the same thing. And aftermath, you know, we always have a kind of a rehash of it at the end. You know, chit chat about stuff. And we always learn things too about it. So that's always the good thing, so we can apply that to the next one. And speaking of the next one is today in Lassen County in Susanville, 2:00. So we're going to be having one over there. So if you're over there, if you know anybody in Lassen, call them, tell them, head on over, check it out, see what's going on, get informed, and make your own decisions.
Yeah.
Get the information and make your own decision, and don't let somebody make the decision for you. So that's what we're going to be doing this afternoon. So we'll be leaving this morning, hightailing it over to Lassen.
And it's always a good time over there in Lassen. It's a beautiful drive.
It is.
It's a beautiful place.
And they've got a great committee over there. Great people working really hard to get things going. So they're great people all over the Jefferson. That's the whole thing that we know.
Solid.
And they're workhorses. I mean, not just the committees, but people that are in those communities. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I mean, that's...
Well, that's one of the things that makes us uniquely Jeffersonian is we are hard workers by nature.
Yes.
We've been raised that way. We've been taught that way. We enjoy it. And one of the reasons that we enjoy it is because we're used to being able to enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Mm-hmm.
Because the harder you labor, the more you labor for yourself, the more fruits you have to enjoy, and that is not the story anymore.
Right.
The harder you labor, the more they take.
That's right, yeah.
The less you have, the harder you work. The way that it's set up in the state of California, the way that they tax overtime, you make less money working overtime than you do at your regular hours, the way that they tax it. That's not right.
So why bother?
Why bother?
Yeah.
It kills ambition. It kills drive. It kills...
Everything.
Motivation, entrepreneurship, it's self-destructive. It's a self-sustaining prophecy.
And all those things can be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. If people would just step back and think about it, Jefferson is truly the silver bullet. It can fix and remove a lot of things that we are being suppressed by. A lot of things. And you just go down the list. Anything that you really don't care for, you really don't like, make a list of it. The pros and the cons of Jefferson. I bet the pros totally outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty. Sit down and do it. Put a pencil to paper and do it. And when you start looking at all things that are cons and seeing what they are and just seeing what we can remove, and if you have questions about any of those things that we can viably do, you know, I'm sure it will happen.
And, you know, and one of the things is one of our biggest drains is welfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about the elephant in the room is welfare, social services, things like that that are hitting us. And there are people that are terrified that they're going to lose those social services and things like that. And to be honest, I understand why they're scared,
mm-hmm.
because the way that things are set up now, they need those social services to exist, to survive. because it has been broken to the point it's very difficult to go out and succeed on your own and be self-sustaining. And that's by design.
Correct.
That's to keep you on the government dole, on the government dime, necessary and needing government, electing the people that are promising the handouts. But the reason you need a handout is because they're disabling your ability to go and get it for yourself. And if somebody comes to you and can legitimately trade you a job for welfare and you refuse it, then you're a bum. And I don't care.
Yeah.
But if someone can design a system, and we know how to do it, we've seen how it works. We have hundreds of years of being historically mobily upward in America. If we can get the government out of your way, if we can enable you, if we can enable your fellow man to help you out, to get you up on your feet, to get you going, and you shake your head and say, no, I'd rather be a slave to the system because I get freebies, you're a bum.
Well, you'll have to move to California.
Yeah, you'll have to move to California.
That's the only place it's going
to
happen.
And to be honest, good riddance.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's not attacking people on the social services and welfare now. I understand why.
Right.
It's extremely difficult. But when we fix the system and make it very easy and able for you to succeed, and you don't want to, see you later. Go hang out with Jerry.
There you go.
So, and again, that's a uniquely Jeffersonian perspective, I think, because you get south of that Highway 20 line, you get off the eastern slope of the Sierras, and you get down into some of the big cities, and that's the mindset.
Yeah.
And it's not only do I want to be on the government dole, they owe me.
They owe me. Yeah.
It's that entitlement attitude. That
because you're alive and breathing, they owe you?
It's prevalent in what would be California.
Yeah.
And that's not us.
No, that's not us. And
it's
the beauty of that is, too, that getting people out there and getting them successful, it breeds success.
Absolutely.
And then you never know what's going to come of it. And that's the beauty of it, too. All the good stuff, all the good fortune for people. And when I say good fortune, I don't mean people making fortunes, but some may. But maybe you'll be one of those. And the thing, it can employ you. It can employ your kids. It can employ your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It gets them off the government dole when they're employed and they're earning for themselves and they're being a contributor to society, either through tax base or just by buying a house, buying a car, what have you. Those things, it adds up. Every person that does that, it adds up. And it adds up quickly. And if people would just stop and step back and look and see how that could help them and help everybody they know, I can't see how they would not support it. And if they don't support it for those reasons, they're a controller and they're part of the problem.
Well, that's what are we really talking about? We're talking about removing the shackles of government.
And the tyranny that comes with it.
Who wouldn't want that?
How could you not want
it? I don't understand the mentality.
Otherwise, you're just being a slave.
And the only thing that I can see is they don't understand it at a fundamental level, or they are afraid. And
I think it can be both. And so what they've got to do is to remove the fear by learning to understand. And once they understand it, they'll remove the fear, and then they understand that they have control of it. Then they can start taking control of it. I mean, heck, if Sam Adams and John Adams, and John Hancock and all those other founders did not do what they did, we would not be here today.
And they were self-made men for the most part.
Yeah. Well, Sam Adams was a rebel rouser. He was fighting the king. I mean, he was not collecting the tax money.
He owned a brewery.
Yeah, and you know, had good beer, you know. So, you know, you look at that, you think about the historical facts that we have, then we know.
Mm-hmm.
All that information we know, it's been documented over and over again. We know those facts to be true. So therefore, why don't we learn from that? Those are templates that we can use for Jefferson.
Well, that's one of the things that I always hammer on, and we always hammer on, it is the historical perspective. Why did our founding fathers set up America with the fundamental foundation that it did? Because they had already dealt with the system that is encroaching upon us. Now, they escaped it in Europe.
Yeah.
This is not a new thing that's happening to us here in America, this encroachment of totalitarianism, of the government being intrusive in every aspect. That is what our ancestors fled from in Europe. That's what they fled from in the 1600s and all of the mass migrations to America. They were fleeing tyranny. They were fleeing the government overstepping its bounds. They were fleeing the things that are now on our shores.
They died for it.
They died for it.
Yes.
They to get here.
Yeah.
For the chance.
For the opportunity.
The opportunity.
Just to be able to say, you know, to get the chance of doing something, whatever that something was. They died for that. And you have to look at it, you know, would you be here had they not died for that?
No.
No, I wouldn't. I know that.
No. And that's why we have to understand that any piece of the foundation that you take away, you're destabilizing the entire structure.
Yep.
If you have a firm historical perspective on what happened, why it was happening, what's happening now, you understand why they did what they did, and they did it exactly the way that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they warned us on everything from the monetary system to being able to defend ourselves to making sure we protected our ability to do things like you and I are doing here today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was a reason that they granted states individual sovereignty.
Yes.
Away from the federal government.
Yes.
Because they knew the destructive power of an over-enabled federal government. They knew.
They did.
Because they had seen it before.
They were living it firsthand.
Absolutely.
And it took Boston being bombed, if you will, and just infiltrated by the British to get it to roll. And once that all started happening, getting really ugly, and Bunker Hill and all the other stuff going on, then they finally, the tide started to turn.
You know, one of the things that touched it off, the riots. They were shooting civilians in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
So crazy. With that, we better get off to our bottom of the hour break. And Bob's grabbing a phone call here real quick. And after that, we'll get to that. But, you know, and it's things like that that make us unique. It's who we are up here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our brothers and sisters in Southern Oregon are vastly similar. We've grown up in an agrarian background that requires hard work. Logging, mining, ranching. These are labor-intensive things. And people have a natural entrepreneurial spirit and the ability and the willingness to work for what's theirs.
And there's a lot of pride in those industries. There's a lot of pride, and a lot of people do really well with those industries. And it's hard work, but guess what? It's work.
It's worth it, though.
It's totally worth it.
It's worth it. Did you have somebody on the phone, Bob?
Let's go to a break first.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get to break, and we'll get to it afterwards. This is KCNR Free Fire Radio.
Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Or as my brothers and I call it, Thirsty Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday.
And that's another aspect of us Jeffersonians. We do like to have a good time.
Yes, sir.
Because when you work in industries like logging, ranching, mining, you put in that hard labor, you like to blow off a little bit of steam. And
Absolutely.
We have a lot of fun doing it. You know, everything from going out, shooting out guns and four-wheel drive and... You know, there's a lot of different things that we can do and a lot of different, you know, things that are fun. You know, yesterday, while you guys were out doing the work at Jefferson, I was out with the family out there at the Danbury having a good time. And that's kind of what got me thinking is, you know, you don't get a lot of that in Southern California either, the community festivals and the things. You know, my kids went and had a blast. And, you know, what are they doing? They're doing the egg toss and the potato sack races. And, you know, my daughter got to meet Snow White and, you know, thought that was one of the greatest things in the world. And my son met himself a couple of Vikings wandering around the party and, you know, got pictures with the shield. And, you know, it's those small things that bring small communities together mm-hmm. that make us unique, too. Because I remember... Growing up, we always had a saying that we might fight amongst ourselves, but if you're from the outside, you're fighting every one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's interesting to see the traditional communities up here close ranks, you know, because there's arguments and things that go back 4 or 5 generations between some families.
Sure.
You know, and like you said, we got long memories up here.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the interesting dynamics in different towns and smaller communities among the families. But if you're from the outside and you come and interfere with anyone, their mortal enemy will be right there next to them.
Yep. Locking arms and ready to go. Yep.
And it's you don't get community like that anywhere else. Not in California that I can think of. And I've traveled all over California and seen different things, and there's it's generic, you know, in Southern California, the sense of community, it's not there. It's not ingrained as who you are. You know, for me, my entire life, I'm going to be a Trinity County kid. Mm-hmm. You couldn't beat it out of me. It's who I am. And that's how it is for a lot of people. And even people that move up here from other places, they adopt the identity of their community. here. They really do, and it's one of the things that makes us so strong and so capable of doing what we want to do.
Well, and they find that missing link, when you're talking about people moving up here, and they've not lived here before, or what have you. They find that missing link for their lives, and they realize, this is what I've been missing. And so then they just go hog wild on getting involved with certain things. I mean, there are a lot of people that do that. There are some people that don't. They want to be off on their own, and that's totally fine. That's what makes Jefferson or Jeffersonians Jeffersonians. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah. And like you said, it's for a lot of people that move here, there's a reason that they move here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that once they move here, wild horses couldn't drag them out of it.
That's right.
And that's because of not only the environment that we live in and the beautiful area that we live in, it's because of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's trust me, we fight like cats and dogs amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when the time comes, we close ranks.
Yeah.
You know, to me, you can't find a better example of that than fire season.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know,
everybody knows it's a threat.
Everybody knows it's that time of year. Everybody comes together. Everybody is right there with everybody else.
That common enemy.
It is. And it always will be up here. You know, and again, another example for we can't even go out and do the things that we need to do to protect ourselves.
Well, I know one way we can do that. We can protect ourselves, and we can close ranks, and we can lock arms, and we can do all kinds of stuff. We can donate to the State of Jefferson Formation.
We can.
And you can mail your donations to P.O. Box 1364, Shingle Springs, California, because that's in El Dorado County, which is the southern part of Jefferson, 95682. And remember that the donations are true donations. They are not tax deductible, because State of Jefferson Formation is a 501c4. Being a C4, we do not have to, and we will not report the donators' names and or amounts to the government. It's not required. If we were a 501c3 and it was tax deductible, guess what? Your name would be on a list somewhere. We would have to track it. And this we do not do. We did this intentionally so we would not have to report to the government who was supporting State of Jefferson.
Yeah, and what a great state to live in that you actually have to fear repercussions.
There you go.
Man.
Can you imagine?
With that, we better get on to Round Mountain. Bob, you there?
Yeah.
How are we doing,
here,
Bob?
I want to say good morning to you and Wynn. You guys were talking about some stuff, and, you know, about people not working and things like that. Well, you figure 40, 50 years ago, our government started all this stuff, you know, that people could get free help. And in the beginning, this free help was to get them back on their feet. Then they started learning that they could take people over. So they started giving them food and living quarters and all sorts of stuff. And it's called welfare now. And the trouble is I know, I don't know, 12 or 15 families that have been on it anywhere from 30 to almost 50 years. They got 4 or 5 generations on this. Well, in California, they make between $40,000 and $43,000 a year on welfare if you have a couple of kids. Why should they go to work? Because you go to work, you work, if you can get a 40-hour job, okay, you make $29,000 to maybe $35,000 a year. They stay home, watch TV, go party, go enjoy themselves, and they make $43,000 to $49,000 a year. I mean, New York is the highest right now at $49,000-something a year. They pay for welfare people. I mean, why do people want to go to work?
Well, that's,
and this is why they're breaking us.
Well, that's one of the problems with government overreach is where the government has moved in to replace the community. Because 40, 50 years ago, when people needed help, it was the community that helped. It was charity.
Right.
It was churches.
Right.
But when you accepted that help, you had to look the person in the eye that was helping you.
Well, and not only look them in the eye, but they would give you some work to do. I don't care if it was yard work, painting their house. You did not get it free. But today, you just get it free. Stay at home, and I'll mail it to you every month. And, hey, enjoy, folks.
Yeah. And that, that's something that needs to be fixed for a great many reasons.
And California's one of the biggest leaders in that.
Oh, yeah,
they believe in it.
Well, California's...
running the state broke.
Well, California's one of 11 states that has more people on the government dole, whether it's a government job or government subsistence, than we do in the private sector.
That's right.
It's one of the reasons that we're headed down the tubes. Hey, Bob, with that, we got another caller on the line.
Okay, you have a good one.
Thanks, Bob.
And the parade was great yesterday with the cars and everything, with the people's name, Janet Chandler and Steve Baird and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
It was a good parade.
You bet. Have a good one.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, we got Jeff in Reading.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. I was just listening to your program about the patriots, you know, that fought for independence. And when I was flying planes down in the Caribbean, I came to Nolan Island. It's probably the most interesting island in the Caribbean. And it was settled by, I think they called them Tories. And they were the sympathizers for the British.
Yep.
And when we got our independence, they left the country and wanted to start
their own. We call them Canadians now.
Yeah. And they went down to this, it's just a pinnacle of rock that rises out of the ocean from 200 feet deep to about 500 or 600 feet elevation. And that still, they speak with the British brogue, and all the little homes are all whitewashed and real clean. There's the only island in the Caribbean with no beach, and a very difficult environment to live on. But it's probably the least known island in the Caribbean, and I think everybody would be interested if just do a search on Saba, S-A-B-A, Caribbean. And you'll see the most interesting island I've ever known down there.
Hmm. Cool. We'll have to check it out.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always love a good piece of history or something that I don't know about.
Yep.
So.
Well, yeah. It's totally different than all the rest, and I've been to all of them. So.
Well, that's, you know, the Tories were interesting, you know, during the Revolution, too. This was a country divided amongst itself. There were those that wanted to remain loyal to the crown,
mm-hmm.
that saw themselves as British subject. The founding fathers saw themselves as British subjects right up until the end.
Yep.
They did everything they could to stay within the mother empire. And the British just would not allow it.
Yep.
They would not allow it. They wanted them as slaves, they had them as slaves, and they weren't about to relinquish power. And that's the thing with government, is once it has power, it never gives it back. You
that's
have
right.
to take it back. And every little bit of freedom or liberty we surrender is going to have to be taken back.
That's right.
Yeah, if you read the Declaration of Independence, it almost follows what's happening now in California.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're not going to voluntarily surrender it.
Cool. Yeah.
They never voluntarily surrender it.
So we'll just have to take it.
We'll have to take it. So with that, we got another phone call.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
And we got Chris from Reading.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to comment. The definitive book on all of this welfare that's gone crazy is a book called Losing Ground, American Social Policy, 1950 to 1980, by Charles Murray. He was in charge of monitoring the programs, and when they started, on paper it looks pretty good, but it doesn't pan out. It
never does.
And he was the guy who was in charge of monitoring all these programs, and so he went to the bureaucracies and, hey, you know, what's going on? Why doesn't this work? And they're like, we just need to make it bigger. So if you really want to get an in-depth perspective on this with all the government numbers and figures, it's pretty much a college level or university level book, but it's called Losing Ground, American Social Policy, 1950 to 1980, by Charles Murray, Madison Press.
Cool. All right. We'll have to check that out.
Check that one out, too.
Thanks for the info.
And it's a basic economic principle, like gravity. You can't take wealth and give it to something that produces nothing and expect prosperity.
Yep.
It's very basic.
You know, it's like throwing a ball up in the air and going, okay, now it's going to hover.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's going to come down and hit you in the head, dummy.
Not only that, but people were made to work and be productive, and it just makes these people more like cattle than humans.
Absolutely.
Sadly.
Yes, it does.
It does. They're dull. They're docile.
Slaves.
They're slaves.
Slaves. Yep.
You know, the light of life has gone out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a hard time understanding the mentality, because the self-satisfaction of producing something, of a job well done, of looking back at something that you've accomplished,
mm-hmm.
and looking at that, and just, that's a being alive. It's, yeah, I don't.
Exactly. The emotional feedback you get from taking from somebody and having to essentially lie about who you are, in a sense, because God created us to be productive and creative people, and to create and cultivate. So it really is making them less of a godly person, and I think mm-hmm. a little bit less of a human being.
Absolutely.
And again, you know, the blame does not rest entirely with those people. We have a responsibility to get the government clause out of these people so that they can be productive.
That's right.
And if they refuse to be productive at that point, that's on them.
That's right.
But we have to remove that great big government gorilla first so that people can be successful.
Yep.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
you guys have a good morning.
You too. Thank you, Chris.
You too. Thank
you. Have a
good day. Bye-bye.
You know, and that's one of the primary things that we're about in Jefferson. And how do you remove the government gorilla if the gorilla is not responsive to you?
Silver bullet.
The silver bullet. You make that gorilla listen because he's got to.
Yeah.
Because you've got the keys to the cage and you know where the food trough is.
Yep.
And that's the only way. Right now, the gorilla gets fed whether you do it or not.
Well, we have to continue to remind those that are voted in to represent us. Are voted in by they're a choice of ours because we hired them to do a job, and they're not doing that job, therefore we need to fire them. So what we do is we vote somebody else in that is supposedly or going to
honor. Where did politicians ever get the idea that we hire them to do something? Functional government means that a chimp in a diaper could do their job.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't hire you to do anything. We don't require you to do anything except not screw it up, which means don't do anything.
Yeah, and the more they do, the more they screw it up.
It's kind of like a hooker. You're paying her to leave. Yeah, it's, you know, the fundamental understanding of government, we're not hiring you to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, because if we have the form of government that we want and we're happy with, you don't need to change anything. You need to sit there, tweak it, maintain it a little bit. Don't change anything.
Right.
Get done with what you're doing and go home and take care of your own business.
Instead of fouling it up more and more and more daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up
with these wild, harebrained ideas.
Do they have like a secret trophy, you know?
What's the most bizarre?
Hey, yeah. Hey, here's Jimbo's trophy for the most laws this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, do they have that? Because sometimes I wonder.
I don't know, because their pay scale has got to be part of it when you're talking about how much they
make. Did they get paid by the law?
Who knows? It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, to me, that's one of those fundamental understandings of government that people don't have.
Yeah.
We're not paying you to do anything.
Yeah.
We're paying you to maintain. The ship's on course. It's at the speed it's supposed to be. The cargo's secured. You just need to stay awake and not be the drunk guy from the Exxon Valdez.
Yep.
And just keep the ship on course. That's all you're there
stay
for.
Stay within the parameters that are before you that we hired you to protect.
It doesn't require a lot of brain power. That's why we elected politicians in the first place. Okay? If we knew that it was going to take smart people, we wouldn't have picked you.
There you go.
Okay? We picked you because you're pretty much useless at anything else.
All right. Another way to get around that is to learn what's going on here locally. And as of tomorrow, Monday the 2nd, 6 p.m., the Reading Patriots are moving to their new location. And again, 6 p.m., the Vineyard City Church. It's at 3276 mm-hmm. Pacelli Lane. Bring a friend. Bring a family. Bring an enemy. We don't care.
Yeah.
Just bring them.
We like them all.
We like them all. Again, and that starts tomorrow night at 6.
And is it Tim tomorrow night?
Tim Pappas will be our
speaker.
Good
way to kick it off.
And Tim is always educational, entertaining, and just fun to listen to. And he's great interaction with the crowd. He's really good at that. And it's always good to have Tim in the house. So he's gonna start off our maiden voyage with the new facility.
Yeah, and that's one of the best ways to get the fundamental grasp of American government that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Come listen to Tim Pappas. Come learn the Constitution.
Yes.
Come learn what it means, why it means that.
And he speaks directly to you, because mm-hmm. when he talks about it, it's so easy to understand. It's like, why didn't I learn this in school?
Absolutely.
I feel cheated.
Like how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, until next time, Jefferson, keep the sunny side up, huh?
KCNR Shasta Redding.
This hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The first and second leading vote getters amongst the Republican presidential candidates sounded off on the Sunday morning talk programs as the Indiana primary looms on Tuesday. Frontrunner Donald Trump talks to Fox News.
I think it's over now, but it's over. Cruz cannot win. He's got no highway. He's got nothing. He's way behind. I'm leading him by millions and millions of votes, and I'm leading him by 400 or 500 delegates. He can't win.
Ted Cruz is in Indiana.
We are competing hard. I hope we do well here. I can tell you I'm barnstorming the state. We're in a bus with my family. We're doing everything we can to earn the votes of the men and women in this state. We are going the distance.
He appeared on ABC TV's This Week program. Congress accomplished relatively little this past week, missing deadlines on the budget and on helping Puerto Rico before leaving town for a week-long recess. Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines had this report.
They left behind few clues about how they'll address some